Sideways in the cloud of smoke. Bump into your ass blood. Cause you know what's going down for sure. Ride with your foot. Sideways in the cloud of smoke. Bump into your ass blood. Cause you know what's going down for sure. Just ask me how deep is your love. Who up on deck? Who put them hickeys on your neck? How many babies did you make off that key sweat? Don't even trip, it's all lab. XB Allen Betty. Get the gloves and act bad. Get them batches ready. Up on release. Oh, they use a cow piece. Your heart be wall banging.
Folks, we thank you for joining us for a latest edition of the Benjamin Brown Podcast. You're live on Spotify and Apple Music. This is your host, me, Theo3ND. I thank you for joining us wherever you download your podcast. And we have a very special episode for you. One of the best point guards in college basketball during, in my opinion, probably the greatest point guard ever from the state of Nebraska. We'll get into what he's going on now in California. Also, his prestigious career. Folks, I'm going to do the great honors of welcoming in the great Andre Woolridge out of North Omaha this morning, brother.
I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, Dre. I'm sure you're a little bit warmer out there in the sun here in Omaha. So,
not bad. It'll probably get to about 65, 70 today. So, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Okay, we might be able to match it then, Dre. It's supposed to be about 65 here in Omaha, so it's been surprising. We got to 70 yesterday, so it was a good surprise.
Yeah,
Dre, I guess I'll start. Yeah, absolutely. Dre, we'll start. You've been having a great thing running out there in Sacramento the last about 15 years with the All Bar Road Academy. Can you tell our audience here at being your academy and what you guys have done for the youth and kids there in California?
All World Ball Academy. It is basically a basketball school. And we teach, you know, the basketball skill sets just through rigorous basketball training. As far as we teach all the fundamentals, we train one-on-one or small groups or teams. And just try to give them a skill set to get them to college, you know. For me, it doesn't matter Division III, Division II, I. If I can help you get to school and play basketball and you get a scholarship, now you got a jump start on life. We all know the odds of playing in the NBA or playing overseas, but a free education to me is very important. So that's what I aim for. I had a lot of kids graduating now. I've been doing it so long, they're graduating from college. But right now I have a standout at Duke, Jarrett McCain, who was a phenomenal freshman at Duke. And he'll probably be one and done. He just tied Zion Williamson's record the other night. And I started training Jarrett when he was 5 years old. So, you know, wow. But there's a lot of kids that came through my program that are playing college ball right now or have already graduated. My son, Rick Barrels III, went to Sac State and graduated, and now he's doing real estate. So there's many ways that this ball can help us advance through life.
Absolutely, Andre. And definitely, I know, definitely have been watching McCain and also one of your other pupils, Silva, that was at Stanford. He's done a outstanding job as well.
Yeah, I think he transferred to Long Beach now.
Right. Previously he was at Stanford.
Yeah, so I don't know how he's doing out there. I haven't had a chance to check on him. There's been a lot going on lately.
Absolutely. And folks, again, you're listening to Andre Woolridge, one of the best point guards out of Iowa University and University out of North Omaha. You're live here on the Benjamin Brown Podcast. Andre, to start, I guess you grew up in North Omaha, Nebraska. You know, the area that we came from and grew up in, that is not sometimes the area that's they kind of you know, have doubts or make jokes, but some of the greatest athletes of all time have come out of the same.
Ray Bob Gibson,
one of the greatest pitchers of all time, one of the top five running backs ever, Gale Sayers. How was it that you've mentioned in other shows and podcasts that the pickup games, and as you mentioned, how you teach your academy toughness and that the attitude. How was that growing up playing against that type of talent? The Jerron Boones, one of your close friends, Terrence Badgetts, Eric rivalries and those games daily able to mold your career?
It just, you know, those were everyday battles. So a certain level of mental toughness was required. And, you know, back then we always played against the older guys. So, you know, even, you know, Jerron Boone and I, we played for Kappa and Little League. And but, you know, we would travel and go to two or three different basketball courts a day. We would start at Fontenelle and go to Drew Hill.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
And then end up at Horace Mann. But, you know, there were also, you know, older guys that we looked up to, but we were trying to beat them. Guys like, you know, Taji Glass and Melvin Chin and just a bunch of guys, you know, a bunch of Boys Club guys. You know, where I'm a proud Boys
sure.
Club kid, you know, growing up.
And, okay, I didn't know that, Drew. I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, definitely. I'm Boys Club all the way. Mr. Mack, shout out to Mr. Mack. Tree, fella named Mudbone, Chris Keaton. You know, we grew up, and so there were always older guys that were, you know, maybe bigger, stronger, faster, better than you, but there was no backing down for us. We wanted to beat those guys. And, you know, I would take pieces of their game and incorporate them into mine. Like I say, Taji Glass, he was jumping out the gym, so I wanted to jump like him. You wanted ball handling like Melvin Chin. You wanted to shoot the jumper like some of the Drake brothers, or, you know, there was always somebody to look up to, and I was still pieces of their game and, you know, try to, you know, form them into mine and like Voltron or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And Jay, you basically read my mind, brother, because that was going to be my second half. My question was, I've heard you mention that you know, because it's ironic that you run at all World Ball Academy, which is a training, but, you know, back in that era, even my era, we didn't have the access to, you know, trainers and things like that. So we had to go outside and play. You know, I know you mentioned in the West Coast, the kids don't do that anymore. But, you know, here in the Midwest, it's common that we'll, you know, shovel snow off the ground and get outside and play in the winter, or, you know, go to three or four park, go to Miller Park and play, or
exactly.
Go to Playland Park and play. But I was going to ask you, who did you, were there any other guys in that era, you know, in Omaha, North Omaha, that you looked up to, or any other guys before you? Did you have access back then to like a, you know, a Johnny Rogers or any other athletes to talk to get mentorship?
It's funny you say that, because Johnny Rogers and my dad, rest his soul, he just passed away a couple of weeks ago. My dad, they were best.
Those
they were
best family.
Yeah, thank you. They were best friends. So
wow.
They were actually roommates in college. So for me to wake up and Johnny Rogers is at my house, that's Uncle Johnny. That is, you know, to everybody else. I mean, he is definitely the Heisman Trophy winner, but that he was at my house on a regular basis, just chilling with my dad. And also, you know, Mike McGee.
Yes, who, you know, Lakers, Showtime Lakers.
Yeah, Showtime Lakers, University of Michigan, one of the best scorers to ever come out of there. Dennis Forrest, you know, we called him Tree. He worked at the Boys Club. But, you know, there's a guy named Lee Johnson who's about 6'10", who played overseas. You know, just my dad attracted a lot of the local luminaries in Omaha. So I grew up around greatness. And, you know, Ron Boone, Ernie Boone.
Yeah, Jerron's dad, yeah.
Jerron, yeah, they're good friends with my dad. And you had the Britt brothers, Kim and Larry and Ernie, just raw athletes, you know. So yeah. I'm a little kid. I'm little Andy on the couch, but I'm looking at these greats, and I want to be better than all of them. And, you know, my dad influenced that. What's up?
It's almost like you're talking to me, because that was me coming up, you know, out of Council Bluffs in Omaha, looking at you guys and Strick and Badgett, and that was me. I played against, you know, Aaron Boone and Nadeau and guys like that, Carl Whites and things like that. So those guys were kind of in my era, but we looked at you guys and your guys' rivalry, you know, watching you score 50 points in the Nebraska high school state game, which had never been done. And, you know, then going on to Nebraska, making Big Eight, you know, all Big Eight as a freshman, not, you know, probably getting the time that you deserved. And that was the dream team. You know, that was kind of the golden era, Dre, is that we saw great Badger Boone, Strickland, you know, then Mikey Moore, Teron Lue. We saw, you know, then when you transfer to Iowa, we saw the great, you know, even people don't know Chris Kingsbury is originally from Omaha. I've mentioned, right, you know, one of your teammates, and he was, you know, a guy I looked up to as a jump shooter. And, can you say kind of your relationship when you got to Iowa? How was it playing for Tom Davis, great Tom Davis, and having, you know, that cast of characters around you?
It was a whole new experience. It was a breath of fresh air. Dr. Tom Davis is just a magnificent basketball mind, you know, just his detail and the way, you know, we approached our practices. And, you know, once I got acclimated and I was able to play the way, you know, he gave me freedom to go out there and be a point guard. We had a system where if you were a starter and he took you out of the game, you could sub yourself back in the game. You didn't have
really?
To. Yeah, like if you caught your breath, you know, because a lot of times, because we pressed the whole game, so, you know, you would get fatigued. But once you caught your breath, you didn't have to ask to go back in the game. You could just walk up to the scoreboard unless, you know, you were really, really out there messing up. But for the most part, you could just walk back up there and sub yourself. So, you know, just his approach to basketball, you know, teaching me to bounce pass, you know, great. You know, John Bagley was a guard for Boston Celtics for a long time. We all know about B.J. Armstrong.
Sure.
And so it was a whole different experience than Nebraska. I just a different level of basketball. And, you know, it was a difficult move to transfer and to sit out a year, but it helped me tremendously. It was a good move in hindsight.
Yeah, folks, you listen to Andre Woolridge, the former 13-year pro overseas and NBA tryout, and also the only man to lead the Big Ten in scoring and assists in the same season. It was all Big Ten. I mentioned several times in Nebraska State champion. I'm going to apologize, you know, just hearing this, you know, these stories from you, you know, coming up from the same area. Dre, again, I just want to classify that in high school, again, like I said, I'm going to say it, Dre. I know you're a humble man, and you know, a God-fearing man that won't say that, but I believe that you are the best point guard ever. Born and raised out of the state of Nebraska, doing what you did at Benson. Shout out to the Benson Bunnies. I'd be amiss with all my relatives that went to Benson, not shouting out the Bunnies, but you won a state title there, you know, scoring tremendous 50 points in the championship game. And then, of course, staying home, you know. And Dre, you mentioned in the past that you always wanted to possibly go to Syracuse or to Kentucky. What was the kind of junior hire as a kid growing up? I know you were the number two point guard in the nation in your class. You had some rivals with Jason Kidd. But what was it about Syracuse that almost made you go there?
I like the way he let his point guards run the show.
Sherman Douglas and guys like that.
Exactly. Sherman Douglas was one of the guys that I looked up to as far as, you know, I would study a lot of point guards coming up. Rod Strickland, John Paxson. I would really study point guards. You know, Magic Johnson is to me is the best point guard ever. And so, you know, I love Syracuse basketball at that time with Sherman Douglas. And that was one of the places that I really considered going.
Andrew, I know it was more of an AAU at that time, but we've heard stories of you having the quadruple double in the, against Jason Kidd. I believe it was the AAU tournament,
In
Vegas. Can you give us more detail into that? That's almost like a folktale, a story, but can you let us know here at B&B Nation?
Well, it was a folktale on it's almost like that on both sides, you know, for him and for me. He was, you know, the best thing going on the West Coast. You know, he walked in the gym with an entourage, you know, everybody talking about him, whatever top 20 coach you name was in that gym. This was the main event. And you know, AAU wasn't as robust and big time as it is now. You know, we probably played three AAU tournaments a summer. You know, we would go to Iowa and play We would have one in Omaha, and then the big one was in Vegas. There wasn't, you know, AAU tournaments every weekend back then. So this was a big deal, and this is where it was your time to shine. So, you know, he walks in, and, you know, he got dudes and has an entourage and girls and everything with him. And so we lace him up. I mean, no, it's serious. Like, this dude.
He walks in like he's Ice-T or somebody, right?
Like that dude, Nino Brown. I don't know, somebody. You know,
yeah, probably, absolutely. You know?
And so, you know, me, I'm, let's go. You know, I play, you know, I always played against older cats my whole time coming up. So, you know, I was ready for that type of competition, and the game was just, it was just a vicious game. Very competitive. No hate at all, but honestly, he fouled out of that game, but they would never foul him out. They was giving his fouls to other people. I know I had 36 that game, and I know I missed 6 free throws. But
wow,
just from, you know, for kids, that one game changed my whole college recruiting. I probably had 2 offers before I went to Vegas, and I left there with every offer, because when I'm telling you every coach that you want to play for was in there. All the top Kentucky, Louisville, Syracuse, UNLV, every coach was in the house, and you could touch them because the gym was that small. So, you know, I went and I did my thing, and he did his thing too. But, you know, at that time, there was no beating. Nebraska team is not going to beat a California team on the West Coast with Jason Kidd. So, but I left there the number 2 point guard in the nation. And, you know, I got all my offers, and it was just a great experience. But, yeah, they said it was a quadruple double. So,
that's a rare feat.
You feel me?
Yeah, absolutely. And, Andre, again, we know that, you know, I try to be unique here with Theo 3 and D on the podcast. I'm not going to – we know the reasons why you left Nebraska. Like you said, it just simply wasn't what you thought it was. It was that dream team from the area, but it wasn't the basketballs go around. I know people kind of belabor that point, but it is what it is. And when you got to Iowa, Andre, and you've already spoken about the impact that – what was that like, Andre? Your senior year, you know, you played with Kingsbury and Settles and Russ Millar, guys like that. But how was it to be the only man to ever – the first person to lead the Big Ten in scoring and assists? You averaged 20.2 points a game and over 6 assists. And we know the fortune that, you know, due to NCAA politics, and there was a lot of politics in basketball that – Bobby Jackson won an award. He and Clem Haskins, and they were found ineligible. So we're going to go ahead and crown you the Big Ten Player of the Year. Well, it's like you get a team won the Big Ten. So yeah. How was that experience competing against Bobby Jackson?
It was just a great experience. You know, even to this day, Bobby and I are good friends. We connected and worked out here in SAC a lot. But, I heard about the scandal or whatever, but, you know, I'm kind of old school. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I'm not.
That's right.
You know, and you know, they won it at that time. I wouldn't want it now. You know what I mean? They won it back then, and it is what it is. But no, you know, you talk about Kingsbury. He was shooting from the logo back then. So, like people don't understand. He was really shooting from the logo in the 90s and making them against big teams. We're on TV and CBS versus Michigan, and then playing with Jess Settles. He's just a monster. Unfortunately, you know, he got plagued with some injuries, a back injury, but you know, those two guys were really, really good players, really good friends. We're still, you know, still can get on the phone call today. And, you know, the Hawkeye family is just a little different. We really stuck together. We also had Kenyon Murray on our squad for, you know, a little bit.
Dre, how fun is that? I know I'm going to interrupt, but how fun is that now that I know you saw him on his great podcast, Leave Your Legacy? How fun is it to be right there in Sacramento to watch his son, Keegan Murray, be the rookie of the year and the top pick for the Kings right there?
Man, it's great. It's a great thing for Iowa basketball. It's a great thing for the Kings, and it's definitely great for Kenyon and his family just to stay the course and, you know, raise two boys that make it to the NBA. And Kenyon was a great
player.
He was a great player himself. You know, McDonald's All-American.
Yes.
He was just so athletic, defensive stopper, ambidextrous. You know, it was funny. He told me that his dad didn't know that he was left-handed, so he taught him how to shoot his jump shot with the right hand. But he was really a natural lefty. So Kenyon's dunking, you know, with the left hand, right hand, finishing layups and stuff like that. He was just a great athlete. So, you know, the Hawkeye family is just a little different. We still stay in touch. We still text and, you know, get on the phone every once in a while. It was just a great experience going to Iowa.
And Dre, you mentioned, I'm going to segue really quick. I know I appreciate your time here at the Benjamin Brown Podcast. We thank you all for listening live here on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Dre, you mentioned that the Hawkeye family, I know it's probably still hard for you being on the West Coast, but we saw Caitlin Clark from Des Moines set the all-time NCAA women's record for scoring against Michigan. And without she's going to break it against Nebraska, did it against Michigan with a 49-point performance for the ages. To your extent, what does it mean to the program and to see a young lady just like Keegan, you know, from born and raised in the state of Iowa, and then go ahead to set records like that and set the all-time record for Iowa?
It just goes to show you that if you work your butt off, I mean, it means a lot for Iowa basketball, period. But if you work your butt off, it don't matter where you're from. This game is universal. This game is, it's just something that you don't need. It's not like football. It's not like tennis. All you need is a basketball and a court, and you can go out there and you can shoot 1,000 shots by yourself. You can work on your game. You know, like you said, we used to shovel the snow just to get out there and play. You know, sometimes the ball would explode. Sometimes the air would come out of the ball just because it was so cold. But it's just, you know, being from,
yeah,
you know, people consider, you know, Omaha a town and not necessarily a city, or Des Moines a town. So you can be from anywhere, and you can, this it's about $60-$70 now, but this $70 ball can make you millions, especially now with the NIL. So I love to see stories like that, you know, between the Murrays and Caitlin Clark, but they are Hawkeyes, so I love that even more. It just gives me something to brag about out here on the West Coast, and it's a great time to be a Hawkeye. It always is, but when these people pop up and are very successful, it just makes you proud, more proud to be a Hawkeye.
Absolutely, Dre. And you mentioned that the ball to take you all around the world, and we know after, you know, your illustrious career at in Iowa. I know you mentioned before, Tark, a different podcast that you know had a lot of offers. You had a great, you led the NBA Summer League in Utah in assists. You had some good looks with Denver, and you know, multiple earlier. I remember watching you, Dre, when you played that short stint in Asheville in the G League. That was fun watching you play on the G League on TV, and you did your thing there, definitely. But can you tell the BNB Nation here on Spotify, what was it like? You know, you played in five major countries, nine overall. What was that? What was your experience playing overseas, and maybe what was your favorite country, maybe, and what was the least best experience overseas playing?
It was wonderful to travel and see the world, see different walks of life. You know, between 13 and 17 hour flights, that's not fun.
Ooh.
But you know, I always have business class or first class in my contract, so that made the flight easier. You know, honestly, overseas is wonderful. It can be dirty. So I like to say the countries that I like the most are the ones that paid on time, because sometimes you get to a country and they get a little short on the money, and you know, no, just play in the game, or 2 more weeks and we'll have your money. But I had a ball in France. I played in France about 5 years. Italy was great. I always loved Turkey, because that's who gave me my first paycheck. You know, it's something to go from a college and being broke and a Pell Grant and a Stafford loan to making $15,000-$20,000 a month at that age. It meant a lot. And so, and to do what you love. I mean, you're really working maybe 4 hours a day. You know, if you got 2 practices a day, if not, And basically, you're playing two games a week. So you may practice Tuesday and Thursday in the morning and in the evening. But for the most part, you're practicing 2 hours. You get paid to do what you love. You get to see the world. And when you're over there, you're playing like a NCAA tournament or a round robin. It's called a cup. It's called the FIBA Cup. So even if you're playing in France, then you travel to Spain to play against them on Wednesday. And then you play in your home league on Saturday. And then that next Wednesday, the Spanish team comes and plays you. And it's just a big tournament. So you're in Europe. Wow. And you're also traveling to Europe. So I've been, you know, pretty much everywhere three times. You know, you fly to Russia, you go to Bosnia, you go to Turkey, you go to Israel. And so, you know, having to do what I love professionally and get paid for it, you know, 13 years is just a blessing. You know, it was great, but I would say, you know, my best countries were France and Italy. The lifestyle was great. I could drive to Paris in an hour and a half, or I could take the speed train and be there in 50 minutes. You know, I was 45 minutes from Venice in Italy, you know, where you go shopping and you're on the boat, and the boats are taxis. The food is just great. Nightlife in France is crazy. So,
especially as an American, right? I bet they treat you a lot different as an American.
Yeah, well, you have to realize too, you're in their version of the NBA. So everyone knows you. You know, if you got some game, people know you. And at that time, I was playing against Tony Parker. He was a young guy. He was a young guy for Paris. And also, dang, I can't remember their names.
You said Michael Petras.
Michael Petras. And his brother was nice too. Boris Diaw. They all were on the same team. They were kind of stacked. And you know, we played them in the championship and we lost to them. But I don't think we would have won against the future of French basketball with those three guys going to the NBA. I don't think the referees are going to let us beat them. But that's a whole different
story. Yeah. Well, Joe, you kind of went to you with Jason Kidd, and then when you had that huge game in Iowa against Kentucky and the NCAA tournament, Rick Pitino, they weren't going to let y'all win. But while I have you on that segment of France, where we segue to our last segment, Joe, I want to be respectful of your time here at the Benjamin Brown. What are your thoughts early on about the 7'5" Frenchman, Victor Wanyama? We've seen him. He just recently he passed Michael Jordan as the fourth fastest player in NBA history to get 1,000 points. He had a historic triple-double last week, Andre, with 10 blocks, which is rarely seen these days. I'm not sure how much you've got to watch him or his highlights, but what have you thought so far of his progression in his game in the NBA?
I think he's the future of the NBA, without a doubt. To be that tall, that skilled, that mobile, I think he's the next up. You know, when LeBron steps down, and I like the way they're treating him. They're not rushing him. They're limiting his minutes. They're limiting his workload. But I think he's going to be pretty much unstoppable. He can shoot the three. He can dribble. I saw him do the chamois in a game. You know, and he's just I think he's heaven sent. Like he's going to bless the game. I'm pretty sure he'll pick up some weight. I love the discipline and how what they do out there in San Antonio, you know, because they've had those stars before with Duncan and Robinson and different players. So I think he's in the right place. I think he's the future of the NBA for sure.
I thought it was kind of scary. I'm not sure if I saw a clip on it, I think Instagram, that during the All-Star weekend, Jamal Crawford, somebody during your era, Big Ten guy, was showing him some of his moves, and Jamal Crawford was, and he had it down on one try, and that was scary to see. Him doing the Jamal Crawford behind his back after one lesson from Jay Crowds.
Yeah, he's so talented and skilled at this age with that size. You know, it's scary. It's scary. What, you know, as long as he can stay healthy, this, you know, he's next up. I would say, you know, he has the look, he has the skill set. You know, he's
He looks like he loves the game, Dre. I think like and Anthony Edwards, another guy I really like. Anthony Edwards is a kid that just seems like he just loves basketball. And I think he appreciates it from, you know, like we all did come up from humble beginnings. I heard him mention the other day that, you know, people come to, they pay their money. They spent their hard-earned paychecks. So why did I sit out?
Yeah, definitely. I like his approach. I like his mentality. He's tough. And, you know, he's a dog, but he also, I think he takes one out of Michael Jordan books because he smiles a lot. You know, he'll kill you.
Yes, yeah.
He'll kill you, but he'll smile at you too. And he's just about ball. You know, it ain't too much nonsense going on with him. He's about basketball, and you got to love it. You can tell those who really love the game who would play it for free but deserve to be getting paid for it.
Folks, again, you're listening to one of the point guards of his era out of the Midwest, Andre Woolridge, former Nebraska State champion, player of the year. He still is second all-time in Nebraska history in points scored, a Big Ten mention.
Who's first? I thought I was first. Who, boy, well, huh?
Well, there's a controversy now. I know you don't like this, but some scouts still say they have Strick over you by 3 points. Are you saying that's inaccurate?
That is okay.
You can set him straight here live on Spotify.
That has never been the case because that was the deal where I eclipsed him in the state championship game. So no, I've for the last 30 years in the all time.
Okay, so
you better carry the one or something. Get your
facts. Yeah. Okay. He may or may not be coming on soon, so we'll see what he says. I'm sure he'll get a chuckle out of that as well.
Yeah, but he still you know got a little sting about that, but that's my dog. That's my boy. You know,
absolutely,
it's all good.
And like you always said, Dre, it's funny how the regular sports media tries to nowadays create these stories and rivalries, but as you said, you guys grew up playing against each other in the parks and then at the Boys and Girls Club at Miller Park, you know, at the down on 20th and Howard. I call the Mecca the 20th and Howard YMCA, you know, different places like that. But
yeah, no doubt. And like, no, we either I'm picking him up or he's picking me up. We went court to court together. Now, a high school rivalry. I mean, yeah, he went to Bellevue West, I went to Benson, but we've been boys since before Nebraska. So now, as a matter of fact, we probably cemented our relationship on that AAU team when we went out to Vegas. So no, there wasn't no personal beef, you know.
And that's the media trying to build that up. Like we always say, Dre, and you know, the media wants to make, you know, storylines and they need news and, you know, something to talk about. But Dre, I'd be remiss a bit before closing with you. We just had two more quick questions, but can you I wanted to give a shout out to your man Terrence Badgett. I know that you've mentioned in the past how close you were with him, and he's one of the reasons that you didn't relocate to Sacramento up on a visit with him when you were playing in France.
Yeah.
I'm Bacon Brown about your relationship with Big T and what he meant to you in your career and growing up with him, playing against him.
That's my dog, 100%. That's my brother. We started out as rivals, playing pickup ball against each other, and we were about to fight.
He went to South, man. Right. How did he get?
Well, he's from the North. He always wanted to go to Benson. He always wanted to go to Benson, but that's a different story. No,
we'll let him come on and defend himself. We'll let him come on and say,
yeah, you gotta bring
shout out to Big Terrence, man. I ran into him, just a good brother, man, and just showed us love around Christmas time. It was great to run into him, on the dark side of the moon over in Council Bluffs. So it was good to see Big T.
Yeah,
we just had two more quick questions, Dre, and then we'll wrap it up here for you. We really, again, I'm honored, Dre, and just like I said, you brother, being one of the guys I looked up to growing up playing, being an avid hooper and player in the Metro. You and Strick and Boone and everybody else, just we really appreciate this opportunity to speak to you. We had two quick questions. One of mine was, you know, Dre, with your experience in the vet camp, we have a lot of guys here at the Benjamin Brown podcast, a lot of guys that played overseas in your situation. A young brother now, Kyler Cochran at Toledo, is a good player, the godson of Joe. One of my cousins, Gregor and Dwight Smith, that they played overseas for years. What would your advice be, I guess, kind of a two-part question, Dre, going into vet camp or guys that have that opportunity going into the summer league, what advice would you give them, you know, if they're all, you know, Big Ten mention or they have a good agent that can get them into a camp? Would there be any advice would you give them on that end? And then going overseas, would there be any advice going to the countries?
I would just say when you go to those tryouts, stay positive, be, you know, play as hard as you can. Like I say, like I got my niche in the Utah Summer League from stealing the ball and assists. You know, you might not go to an NBA team and score 20 or 30 points. It's a total different game, and they already have guys that can do that. So you gotta find your niche. You gotta find out what you can do best to be on the court first. And, you know, always put yourself in a position. Like I say, I probably tried out for 10 or 15 NBA teams. And, you know, wow. getting cut is not fun, but you got to pop back up again. You got to hop, get back up and try it again. And then overseas is something different. You can go and do your thing over there. But the better your resume is, and with the NBA on it, whether trying out, getting cut, or making it to vet camp, I pretty much doubled my money when I went to Denver, and then I went back overseas. My money doubled just because I have that on my resume. So, you know, shoot for the top. Definitely try out. Every time you get invited, you know, be in your best shape. Go, you know, play hard and give yourself a chance. And just try to get better every chance you get every summer. Try to get better, work on something, and it'll work out. And then, you know, overseas is always a great option to make some good money. You just got to know how to invest after that. But no, keep working on your game. Don't stop, even if you're 2 or 3 years removed. I think I didn't stop trying out for NBA teams for like 7 years.
Wow.
Overseas. And then, you know, after a while, it's either the dream or the cream. And so
I remember you had that. That's a good quote. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you gotta do what's best for you and your family. But no, just be prepared. Work your butt off. Stay out of trouble. And when you get that opportunity, go hard.
And it sounds like your faith played a big part. After man that you believe in prayer, and that probably helped you, you know, like I said, your main focus was ball, and that helped you stay out of a lot of it.
Definitely. Your prayer is heavy. It can take you where you want to go. It keep you out of trouble. Prayer is very important, and I would say in anybody's life, but definitely in mine.
Definitely. And Dre, our last question was kind of my own question. I wanted to kind of aim it towards your era. I know you were a guy, of course, that you had tremendous handling, and you always had the ball on the string. And not necessarily maybe if you didn't compete against all these guys, but who would you say you thought during your era, Dre had the best handle between a guy that, you know, some kids don't know he's a real person, Sham God, who's on the Dallas Mavericks coaching staff right now with Luke and those guys. Would you say it was Sham God, White Chocolate, Jason Williams, Rafer Alston? Who would you say had the most handle during your era that you saw or maybe played against?
You know, those were East Coast guys. I didn't get to see them a lot. I did. One of the summers, I went up to Rucker, and I did see Skip Tumalu, Rafer Alston.
Oh, wow.
I saw him outside in person, and so he had great handle. But I would give it to White Chocolate, and that's only because I was in SAC, and I could see him a lot. And he would actually, you know, come to the gym and work out with us every once in a while. Chris Webber would come more often. I knew Corliss Williamson from playing college ball, and we played in a couple All-Star games together. But, you know, when you have a dribble move named after you, that's tough. And then, you know, Skip was the and-one face, but he took it to the NBA, so that's tough too. You know, and then you got different, you know, being a hooper, you have different types of ball handling. You got, obviously, yes, East Coast guys dribble a little higher, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but they still have it on the string. Marbury.
And Chicago, Dre, they called them the Wizards, the ball handling Wizards, right, in Chicago, right, when I was there.
So, you know, to each his own. But I know Jason would put gloves on and also like ankle weights on his wrist.
That's insane, right? We hear people think using that to do plyometrics and get their hops right, but this man's dribbling with gloves like that.
Yeah, he's dribbling with gloves on. I mean, we used to do the gloves, That was one of our tricks of the trade that we, it's like a ancient Chinese secret. We really wouldn't tell people, but that was a boys club trick where we were put on two pair of gardening gloves. But, you know, Jason, he took it to another level with the wrist weights. So,
Dre, I got to put you on a hot seat though. Would you, if you could give me three guys at Omaha who had the best handle that you saw come out of the Metro?
Like I say, Melvin Chin, okay. my teammate Dale Harrison, and then this is my era, so you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And then Andre Woolridge.
Okay, and then Dre, probably can we get your top three or in your era to bounce? Who had the most hops? I don't want to let
the
you
most
saw
hops. Oh
man, three guys.
Well, like I say, I looked up to Taji Glass. He was a little older than me, but he had crazy hops. Strick was bouncing.
What was my guy out of South, Dre? I think he played one the guy. It was a Curtis. Curtis, I always forget his last name.
Not Marshall, right? He went to prep.
Yeah, Curtis Marshall. I always hear a lot about it. I never saw him play myself.
He could shoot that thing. He'll shoot the blood out the ball. He went to prep.
Okay.
He went to prep.
Yes.
Man. Bounce. Strick had bounce. I mean, there was a kid, I can't remember his name. There was a white kid from Northwest who had bounce.
Because you know my era was just Nate Dude. That was all we had with Nate Dude and Nuku.
Yeah,
you know?
And see, God rest his soul.
He was the bounce guy.
I kind of missed you guys because I was either at Iowa or overseas. So
yeah,
I hear about Nate.
Because we saw like Arthur Bolts come after you, Arthur Bolts and right. Lee Cook and those guys.
Yeah, those my little brothers. Yeah, Bolts is my little brother. So I mean, but I did jump over a couple people in the holiday tournament. So
Absolutely.
I don't know, bro. It's hard.
I put my big cuz up there, Nate Dunbar, Nate from 48. I put Nate on that list.
Okay.
I seen him put some people in the basket over in Benson.
It's a lot of brothers with bounce. I mean, Teddy Lillard had bounce at one point. Philip McGarry could jump out to him.
I remember the Harrington brothers out of South, Josh and Justin Harrington. They had bounce.
Yeah. You know, once Michael Jordan hit, it was like everybody had bounce. Like everybody wanted to jump out the gym. So you just had to work on your hop. That's all.
And Dre, in close, I really want to thank you again on behalf of my co-host who couldn't be with us, Bob Bajek, and everybody here at the Bajek and Brown podcast. Do you have anything in closing, Dre, for us this summer for All Ball World Academy? Anybody out there in California or anything that you may be hosting in Omaha this summer?
I'll probably put on a camp in Omaha in the summer. I've been talking to Justin about it. He's opening up a basketball gym. We're going to keep grinding, trying to make the kids better, trying to send them to college. I know this podcast has been a while in the making, but I want to thank you for having me.
I appreciate you, Dre, through all our setbacks and hiccups there. And in closing, can you let our audience know, Dre, where they can find you at on social media if you're still on the Facebook or Twitter or what have you for the Academy and YouTube?
All of my stuff is at All World Ball or All World Dre. You can Facebook is Dre Woolridge, but Instagram and Twitter is All World Ball.
Definitely. And Dre, again, thank you. We appreciate your time this afternoon. I hope you continue to enjoy that weather out there. And again, this is Theo 3&D, folks. We're going to wrap it up here at the Bajek and Brown podcast. This is episode number 82. And we want to thank you to the point guard, Andre Woolridge, out of North Omaha, Nebraska, the greatest point guard ever from the great state of Nebraska. And folks, as always, stay healthy, stay hydrated, and be blessed. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Dre.
Thank you, man.
God bless.
God bless.
trying to get some more mail. Diving hot ones, making liquor store runs, creeping through the city streets, perving in them on one. Can't get wrapped up in that, he said, she said. What was said to link you there? Running your mouth, but get you filled with lead. So I stay real, soaking that game up out of the hills. Riding with that monster sound, now you know what's going down. Ride with your folks. Sideways in a cloud of smoke. Moving to your ass blood. Cause you know what's going down for sure. Ride with your folks. Sideways in a cloud of smoke.